Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Aki and Jacob. How are you two doing?
I'm gonna be good. Fall into the abyss of my gaping butthole.
Gonna be.
Holy shit, that timing. I'm gonna be good. Fall into the abyss of my gaping butthole. Wow. That is how we start a show. Why are you going to be good, Jacob?
I may have partaken of things before the show.
Did you smoke?
No, I did not smoke. Smoking is for losers.
Did you edible?
I did eat something.
How long until it kicks in?
We're going to find out.
Well, I'm assuming you've had them before. How long does it take to kick in?
Anywhere from like, I don't know, like 15, 20 minutes to like an hour.
Did you like take them just before you got on?
Yep.
Cool. So we're going to get like halfway through the news and then you're just going to be like,
how's that different from normal?
Fair.
Yeah. I'm usually like, oh, there's a Sonic 2 movie watch. Oh.
Speaking of, there is a lot of news this week. There is a shit ton of news. We should probably get to it. Unless, Aki, how was your week? We should probably ask how you were doing first.
It sucked. I have had food poisoning.
Oh, no.
That sucks. Yeah. What'd you eat?
I'm pretty sure I undercooked some chicken and got really sick.
So you ate it rare?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I think. Yeah.
Now, Aki, I realize my degrees are in accounting and English. I didn't go to culinary school, but I don't think you're supposed to eat chicken that way.
You are correct. You are not. It apparently didn't stop me at all. And then I'm pretty sure I was also drinking sour milk at the same time and didn't realize it. So.
What the fuck? How do you not? Hold on. We've discussed this. You don't have a very good taste of...
I don't have
taste.
There's no flavor profiles. And I only figured that out because on Tuesday of this week, I chugged some of my milk.
And it was chunky style?
Yeah.
Nice. Those are flavor crystals.
Oh, no, they're not. No, they're not. Ugh.
Burst for a pop of excitement.
God, that makes me want to vomit. Ugh. Yeah, so no, my week's kind of sucked.
Damn.
I've been feeling better the last couple of days, but I've been super tired constantly.
Probably because you've been shitting your guts out.
Probably, yeah.
that makes two of you?
Probably. Oh, are you including me on that one?
Yes, because you frequently
shit. Yeah, my bowels have been rather nice this week. Thank you.
I don't believe you.
All right, next time
I'll prove it. Let's hear from your bowels. Hey, bowels, how are you doing?
Fall into the abyss. Of my gaping butthole.
That's right. Fall into the abyss. I love having those sound effects. I could just play whenever. News. The big news of the week, I think, is that Sony announced finally a release month and price for the PlayStation VR 2. It is coming out in February, and it is going to cost $549.99.
That. Almost as much as a PlayStation 5.
It's more than a PS5.
Ugh.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
$549. I was like, if this thing's $400, maybe I'll jump on it. $550? Even worse, it's not a standalone, so you have to be tethered to your PS5 with a cable. There's no audio on it at all. You have to have headphones.
Oh, that's fucking stupid.
Yeah, there's no built-in speakers on it. I don't know. There will be a bundle available for $5.99 that comes with Horizon Call of the Mountain. And then they announced a whole bunch of new games that are coming to PSVR 2, including the Dark Picture, Switchback VR, Crossfire, Sierra Squad, The Light Brigade, Cities VR, like City Skylines, so that's pretty cool. Hello Neighbor Search and Rescue, Jurassic World Aftermath Collection is coming to PlayStation VR. After the Fall, Tentacular is a good name. I like that one.
Okay.
My cats are attacking each other here.
Yeah, I could hear that.
I got to put up with this shit all night. Wonderful. What are your thoughts on the PSVR 2? Is this something that you're interested in, or have they just lost? Like, it.
I mean, it would require me to invest in another system that, like.
Like, if you had a PS5, would this get your interest, or are you like, I have a PS5 and the price alone has me checked out on this.
Yeah, that if I had a PS5 and could do VR, no, the pricing, that's way, way too high. That's,
yeah,
the entire point of technology is as time goes on, it should get cheaper. Somehow it's more expensive than the first one. And I don't understand what the difference between the two are, or if there really is much of a difference between the two of them. For that matter,
tech-wise, it has much better resolution on the screens. I believe they're OLED screens this time. Hopefully, they're scratch-resistant. That would be really nice, because the first ones, the lenses were plastic, and if you had glasses on and your glasses rubbed up against that plastic, you had scuffs.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And those aren't replaceable.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Shit. Good shit. Good shit. Logan in chat is saying there's a huge difference when you check out the GPUs. So I don't know what kind of hardware is actually going to be in the PSVR 2. Obviously, it's going to be more powerful than the first one. That's a no-brainer. But I just, the whole being tethered with a cord still has me turned off. I don't like that there's very little backward compatibility, and the only ones that are compatible are because the devs have went in and just like remade the game to make use of the new controllers.
I will never understand that. I don't particularly give a fuck about the new controllers or anything. Well, like
they had to use different. I can agree that they wanted different tech, because using PS3 Move controllers with fucking light bulbs on them was just not a good tracking method. And now that this has like onboard tracking and motion sensing and like actual good tech, I think it's going to be a lot better of an experience. But that price tag, oh my God.
Yeah, it feels obscene. Honestly, that is extremely high.
Yeah. Anyway, Game Pass.
All right,
Subnautica's leaving.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah.
Everyone go beat it. You can beat it in like an hour.
Really?
Yeah. It allows you to use, if you have a keyboard, you can do console commands.
Not anymore. They patched that out, I believe.
Well, it still works for the second one, if that matters.
I don't have a keyboard.
You don't have any keyboards in your house?
Do you have a USB keyboard, just a standard ass wired one for like your computer or anything?
Plug it in.
I don't think so. Or if I do, I don't know where it's at.
Oh, geez.
What the fuck?
Yeah. I've been using laptops for like the last, like, God, probably like 12 years.
Whatever, nerd. Game Pass. A lot of games coming to Game Pass. This week alone, we got 4 new games added to Game Pass. 2 of them are on PC with Walking Dead: A New Frontier and Walking Dead Michonne. So those are new on PC.
Cool.
And then on Tuesday, we got The Legend of Tian Ding.
Very nice.
Which is, from what I see, a Guacamelee-style game. And it has my interest. Like, I saw a brief stream on the Xbox channel, and it looked like the animation is smooth, the action was nice. That one has my interest, so I have that one downloading tonight.
Very nice.
And then also today, we got Ghost Song.
That one, and trust me, I might pick that up.
Well, it's on Game Pass, so there you go.
Yeah, that's a, from what I've heard, that's a Metroidvania mixed with 2D Dark Souls like bosses.
Ooh.
So I'm kind of interested in that. Yeah, I don't know if I'll get anywhere in it, but.
November 8th, we are getting Football Manager 2023.
Woo! Yay.
For PC and for console.
Yippee.
Yeah. And the console edition is playable on PC. How does that make sense? They have Football Manager 2023 PC edition, which is playable on PC, and then there's Football Manager 2023 console edition, which is also playable on PC.
Maybe, I mean, I'm fine with that, because I'm sure there are things you can probably do on the PC version that can help you get achievements a lot faster.
I wonder if they have separate achievement lists.
I would have to assume so.
And then
I mean,
also
I assume the console one's a play anywhere title.
That's my guess. But anyway, also on November 8th, launching straight to Game Pass, we are getting Return to Monkey Island.
Hell yeah.
I'm excited about that one.
Yep.
Carnage is very excited about November 10th. Oh, what's the possessive form of 10th?
Tense.
Yeah.
Okay, November 10th edition is Vampire Survivors.
Cool. I've heard good things about that.
Jacob, have you played it?
Played what?
Vampire Survivors.
Nope.
Wow. Even I've played it. And I don't PC game.
I mean,
that is pretty impressive.
Congrats, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't know.
Basically, you start off and enemies come at you and you auto attack and you just walk around killing enemies and picking up what they drop to level up. And as you level up more, you get more means of attacking enemies, and you get a shitload of more enemies flooding the screen at you. And it is just addictive as hell. And it's cheap too. It's like a $5 game.
Is it only on PC?
Right now it's on Steam and Windows 10.
Okay.
It was originally a $4 game, and they had to raise the price to $5, which this game could get way more than that. And then on November 10th, it's hitting Xbox.
Oh, okay, cool. I'll check it out then.
Game Pass. And then November 15th, Pentiment is hitting Game Pass Day 1, and Somerville is hitting Game Pass Day 1.
I'm interested in Somerville. That looks good.
Some reason I know the name of that. What's it about?
It's a... all I'm thinking of is Lovecraftian. That's not the right word.
Is it a visual novel?
No.
Okay, I'm thinking of something else then. Never mind.
Oh.
Anyway, leaving. We are losing some games on the 15th. You already mentioned Subnautica's leaving. We are also losing Art of Rally, Bay Tactics, Next Space Rebel, One Step from Eden, and Superland.
'Tis a shame.
Yeah. I need to check out One Step from Eden before that one goes, because I've had that on my wish list for quite a while.
I think that's a 25-hour long game.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, someone actually listed all of them, and I saw that, and a few of them, like Superland, was 20 hours, but then there was like a 50-hour game in there as well, and I was like, oof.
Maybe Next Space Rebel. That sounds like a long one.
Yeah, I have no idea. As far as I know, it was the rally game. I have no idea, because it was to 100% the game.
Oh.
It wasn't just to beat it. It was to get all the achievements in it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure then. Coming months, we're going to see Dune Spice Wars hit PC Game Pass.
My wife was initially excited about that, and then she found out it's an RTS, and she was like, oh, never mind.
Okay, I was about to say, I don't even know what kind of game that is yet. Now I do, and now I'm not interested. All right, cool.
Yeah, it's one of the problems with like the Dune games, because I think they only make them as RTSs. Like, has there ever been like a shooter game set in the Dune universe?
I don't know.
I mean, it's ripe for one of those like survival ones.
Yeah.
Like I originally thought maybe it was going to be like an FPS or third-person shooter.
I think there's supposed to be something, but it's probably going to be closer to the release of the second movie.
Mm. I didn't know there was multiple movies. Okay.
Yeah, because it was Dune Part 1. Now it's going to be Dune Part 2.
Okay.
I didn't know it was Part 1.
Yeah.
They didn't market it that well then.
Yeah, they fucking did. It was like literally on the posters. It was in the title when you watch the film.
But did anyone care?
The only thing I saw it referred to was just Dune.
I think I saw it referred to as D's Nuts.
Equal to Doe's Nuts is the Games with Gold lineup for November.
I don't know why that was so funny.
Because one is only like halfway there and doing kind of a shit job on its own when it should have been full of life with its other half. And then the other one is cartoonish and droopy and should be squashed.
So you really had to try hard for that one, much like your erections.
first game is Praetorians HD, and they couldn't even give us the double pack with Commandos 2. Like, when those games released, they released as a two-pack.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Okay. And then
Dead End Job.
I mean,
I've never heard of either of these games, so.
On the plus side, I mean, I don't have either of these games, so I was like, all right, cool. But at the same time, I'm just like, this really fucking sucks compared to what PlayStation users are getting.
Yeah. Because as a refresher course, PlayStation Plus is getting Neo 2 and Neo 2 Remastered, Lego Harry Potter Collection, and Heavenly Bodies.
Man.
Xbox, get your shit together. Games with Gold used to be good. Why can't... Like, give us Gears. Sure, it's on Game Pass, but let us, you know, give it to us to ownsies.
They already did that years ago.
Yeah.
What, Gears 5?
Oh, I don't know about Gears 5.
No, not Gears 5, but they gave us, like, Gears 1 through 4 plus Judgment.
1 through 3 plus Judgment. I don't know if 4 they ever gave away or not.
I think 4 was a Games with Gold. I have Maybe. It for some reason. So
I know 4 came with 1 through 3 in Judgment if you bought it new.
So what kind of game is Praetorians? Because that is already up.
That is like a town building sim, I think.
Okay, never mind. Don't care anymore. That was nice and easy.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Like, point being...
Call of Duty news. Phil Spencer said in an interview that Call of Duty would remain on Sony platforms, quote, as long as there is a PlayStation out there to ship to. And he mentioned Minecraft is a comparable franchise that has expanded platforms since Microsoft took over.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, like...
And Ryan's still being a fucking dickhead.
I mean, the thing is that it's like, it's laughable to think that Microsoft is suddenly just going to make Call of Duty, an exclusive to Xbox only. I mean, it's just the series just prints money.
Yeah.
Like, no, like they're not suddenly going to take their ball and go home and suddenly just like take it off of Nintendo and Sony and
it's not on Nintendo.
Whatever else. Shut up. Whatever. I was making an example.
I honestly think that might change. If Xbox takes over, I think they would find a way to put Call of Duty back on the Switch.
I mean, they might have to just to like, you know, make it show up as if like, see, we're keeping our end of the bargain, even though we were going to anyway. Call of Duty seriously isn't like, when's the last time that they released one?
On Nintendo?
Yeah.
I don't know. Long time.
Xbox Phil Spencer wants to put Call of Duty on Nintendo Switch.
Huh?
It's an article from like 3 days ago.
Oh.
And also apparently the Nintendo Switch can't handle the current.
Oh, obviously it can't handle the new shit. I don't know. Anyway, 3 days after launch, Activision disabled family sharing for Modern Warfare 2 on Steam.
Well, that doesn't shock me, but
I get it.
I get it too, because I think it'll help first off with cheaters. Because now if you cheat, you got to buy a new copy. You can't just use the family shared version and create a new account. I kind of wouldn't mind if they did that on console too. Like, I think people abuse the home console thing for game sharing. And I don't like game sharing. I'm not a fan of it. I don't agree with it. I think you should just get your own shit.
Well, not every family has, you know,
yeah,
the ability to buy like four different copies for them and their kids. So. Yeah.
Which is why, right. And if it's in the same household, I understand that people do it, like one in California and one in Australia. They don't. That's not a family share. That's just,
it might be, though. What, all right, but what if like one, like what if like the family lives out in like New York State and the kids going to college in California? Like, I mean, or what if they're studying abroad in Australia? Like, you could still make that case for it.
True, but
the vast majority are people just game sharing to get cheap games.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's the part I don't agree with. But hey, do what you want. But what do you think about them disabling family sharing?
Didn't I already say that I thought I understood where they're coming from it. I mean, especially if it's good, like take care of cheaters on it. But if anything, I would have just assumed it would be like a limited time thing, like 6 months, 12 months. Do I think they will? I mean, I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball, but I mean, like I,
that's why I asked if you think. I know it requires you to use your brain, dust it off. It's on the shelf next. Never mind. I'm not going to go.
Well, it's not like I have like, you know, contacts in like Activision who I could be like, hey man, like you guys going to turn on family sharing? Yeah, let me just flip the switch. Like,
Aki, what do you think? Do you have an opinion on the matter?
I understand where they're coming from, but I don't like that they did that. I think it's kind of asinine, personally.
You think they'll turn it back on?
I don't think so. I really don't.
I know.
I think now that it's off, it's just off. This is a good way for them to make more money off of people. So if they're going to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if this is like their solution to getting rid of cheaters for the time being, like it's one of those things where
I don't think that is what that is, though. I think it's really just now they do this, so you have to buy more copies.
Actually, and speaking of cheaters and stuff like that, I did read a fun article about how a bunch of streamers who almost pretty much do nothing but Call of Duty are upset because the way that the multiplayer lobby now works is that it puts you in against people who are at your game level. So all these streamers who are known for like just going in and annihilating everybody, they now suddenly suck because they're up against people who are just as good as them.
Oh no, they can't use Smurf accounts.
Yeah, and the really funny part is the way they're boycotting it is by simply not playing it on stream. They're still buying the fucking thing, just not playing it on stream.
Geniuses, I tell you.
Oh yeah, they're just the cream of the crop, as you can.
Oh my lord!
Plainly see.
To punish Activision, I'm not going to stream to my hundreds or thousands of viewers. Get money, tips, subs during that whole time. I will instead play offline and cry because I lose.
Yep. Basically.
Oh, man. See, I just lose naturally. I don't have to work hard to lose.
Yeah. I mean, I don't either. I mean, I played Call of Duty 3's multiplayer way back in the day and then never entered another Call of Duty lobby ever again. Like, I just got sniped like literally every single time I respawned. And I was just like, all right, fuck this. Like, yeah. I've never bothered going back to check to see if it got any better. I'm just, nope.
Like, the closest I get to playing online games like that is I'll mess around with Halo Big Team Battle. But only because okay. I have, like, 12 other people to carry me. And I don't really hurt the team that much. Because there's so many other people to make up for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm usually not the bottom anyway. I'm usually in the middle somewhere.
Oh, is that how you like to position yourself?
Yeah.
I'm not usually a bottom, but I'm definitely not at the top either.
Oh, you wish. Let's see, what else? Fatal Frame Mask of the Lunar Eclipse is going to be coming March 9th on Switch, PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Series X and S, and Steam.
I don't know what that one is. It's a
Fatal Frame.
Is that the one where you... With the pyramid head? Oh, the camera one. Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm interested then.
Silent Hill Pyramid Head.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Tecmo's horror series.
I believe this one originally launched on the Wii U.
Well, yeah, I know, but I mean, Fatal Frame was started by Tecmo.
Yeah, I'm just saying this game. Yeah. I think this game originally launched on the Wii U. So it'll be interesting to see. I thought I heard a while ago that Nintendo had partial ownership of the Fatal Frame series, and that's why recent games were only on like the Wii and the Wii U. I wonder if something changed, that it's gone multi-platform again, or if I just heard something wrong all those years ago.
Well, maybe it's like Bayonetta, where, like, you know, they tossed tons of money at it and then just, you know, I don't know. Or maybe
Nintendo doesn't own Bayonetta. They just own the publishing rights to 2 and 3.
Right. I mean, like, maybe, like, they just paid for it to be, like, an exclusive, is what I was trying to say.
I could have sworn I read somewhere that they had actual partial ownership of the IP. I don't know. EA and Marvel are teaming up to create 3 new games based on Marvel properties, with Iron Man being the first. I believe they said Black Panther's the second.
Nice.
I've only heard about Iron Man, but both of those would be exciting.
Yeah, it's exciting to see Marvel games be multi-platform.
Again, finally. Yeah.
Considering Spider-Man is stuck on PlayStation and Wolverine will also be on PlayStation only, and PC, I guess. But superheroes should not be console exclusive.
No.
Especially Superman 64. That should be on all platforms.
That's fair.
Yeah. Front Mission First Remake is launching November 30th on the Switch. So Front Mission fans have a lot to look forward to later on this month.
Sorry to interrupt. I do have what happened with Fatal Frame.
Okay.
Since the fourth game, new Fatal Frame titles have been funded and co-developed by Nintendo, resulting in new series titles since the fourth game originally only appearing on Nintendo consoles. Koei Tecmo would later purchase Nintendo's publishing rights for multi-platform re-releases of Fatal Frame Mask of the Lunar Eclipse and Fatal Frame Maiden of Black Water.
Gotcha. They knew there had to be something there.
Yep.
Something in February, Atomic Heart finally got a release date. February 21st release date on Xbox, PlayStation, and PC, and will be day one Game Pass.
I am so excited for this.
Why? Tell us what has you excited about this one.
This is basically another Bioshock game. This is Russian Bioshock.
Interesting.
And it looks so fucking cool. Instead of fighting crazy people, you fight robotics and stuff. It looks so fucking awesome. I've been following this game for 3 or 4 years now.
Wow.
Yeah. It's been delayed quite a few times,
so.
Yeah, it was announced originally as just a Steam game. And that's when I heard about it. And I was like, oh, I want this. I'll never be able to play it on my PC, but I want this. Yeah, then it just disappeared for a long time, and then poof, then it was for consoles too, and I was super excited. Now it's going to be coming out. Yay!
Yep, February 21st, so a few months away. Some fun news. PlayStation 5 shipments have now hit 25 million.
That's pretty impressive, even though you still can't fucking find one.
Yeah.
It would be more impressive if it wasn't a bunch of fucking scalpers buying the bullshit.
Yeah. Well, that kind of has me looking forward to PSVR sales, because I neglected to mention this. The initial batch of PSVR 2 will be sold exclusively through Sony Direct, and you have to use your Sony account to purchase it.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah, so that is a great way to limit scalpers.
Yeah, fuck scalpers. They can go eat a dick.
You want to know who else could eat a dick?
Can we get that as a song?
What, scalpers can eat a dick?
No, I know, but Aki, like, singing that, could we get that, like, auto-tuned or something?
I don't know. But...
It seemed very sing-songy to me.
Okay.
Yeah, whatever.
Scalpers can eat a dick.
Nope. You're hurting my fucking soul. Just know.
Get one of our musician friends on that immediately.
Grant, where are you?
It'll be right up there with Timber Salmon Facts.
Yes. Grant is insisting he's going to make that a song. So next time Timber comes on, I'm going to have to see if Grant actually had the time to finish it.
Nice.
I'm looking forward to it. But last bit of news I have, some sad news. Onoma, formerly known as Square Enix Montreal and the creators of games like The Hitman Go, they were shut down.
Yeah,
some staff will be transferred to Eidos Montreal, also owned by Embracer, who shut down Onoma. But that sucks to like go through an expensive rebranding, be like, okay, we're dropping our name, we're going forward with new projects and a new identity, and we're shut down. Fuck.
As yeah, is the story of life.
I'm wondering if it was just like Embracer was like, yeah, you're allowed to do this while we figure out like what's what with your studio, and they just looked at it and were just like, this thing is beyond saving. Or maybe it's just because, if I remember correctly, that studio dealt mostly with mobile titles.
Yeah,
I mean, Embracer just might be like, yeah, it's not our focus.
Maybe. I mean, they could have done more console ports of some of their Go titles. I know there were PlayStation releases of a few of them, but not many came to Xbox. I don't know if any of them came to Xbox. I don't know.
No idea.
I don't know. But yeah, that's the news I have. What do you two have?
The Atomic Heart thing was the only bit of news I had. So.
The only bit of news off the top of my head is that the release date for The Last of Us HBO series accidentally got leaked by HBO Max. And so they later came out that day and confirmed it. It's going to be starting on January 15th of next year.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah. Speaking of which, while I'm thinking of it, have either of you ever heard of a game called Detention?
No.
Okay. I don't know if it's like if it's only over in Asia or something like that, but I was going through a bunch of like Halloween titles that were on sale and movie titles, I should preface, for like $5, and one of them was this Japanese movie called Detention, and it's like based off the hit video game, and I'm like, I've never fucking heard of this, and I'm only thinking of it right now because we're all talking.
I'm pretty sure it's one of the games.
It's like a horror thing.
Yeah, you're stuck in a school, and obviously overnight, and bad things are trying to catch you. So you're running around hiding. There's a few different games like it on every console, really.
Okay.
It's not bad.
But yeah, that's all the news I got.
Helpful. I did find one more thing that we could talk about quick. Warhammer Vermintide 2 until the 7th is free to own on Steam. So if you have Steam fired up, get Warhammer Vermintide 2. Again, that is available for free until the 7th. So jump on that and grab it.
I will go do that right now.
Well, you can't do that now because you got a review.
Do you think I can't do both at the same time? That's cute.
We've listened to you. Actually, we know you can't.
I mean, I'm regularly playing video games while doing my review, so.
I feel like half the show plays games during the show.
Yeah.
Well, the start screen looks pretty nice. Oh, shit. I got something we could talk.
I already have Vermintide 2. Okay.
Oh, well. While I'm thinking of it, other news. The Carmen Sandiego cartoon show on Netflix got an Emmy nomination for Outstanding Directing for an animated program.
Awesome.
And also, Joe, this will be for you. I mean, maybe you too, Aki. Mountain Dew Fruitcake flavor.
Oh, my God.
Is now out. I already
had it. It is. Oh.
So what does it taste like?
Tastes like shit.
That's bad. All right.
Okay. I'm not gonna sugarcoat that one. It tasted like cough syrup mixed with your grandmother's potpourri.
Okay. Oh. The worst part is like I
you know what
that potpourri is. I know exactly what you mean. Yeah.
Like that, that little tin full of like dead flowers and pine cones that smells really strong. Yeah. That's what it smells like. The red kind.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I was at Walmart and I saw 12 packs. I was with Mary. I was like, do you think this is any good? She's like, probably not. And I was like, I kind of want to try it. I don't trust it. I'm not getting a 12 pack. Because I remembered the flaming one, like the flaming hot Mountain Dew, which was again awful. Gingerbread, which again was pretty awful. What the fuck are they doing with their flavors lately? Like, I just don't know what's going through Mountain Dew's head.
I mean, I think part of it is just like, you know, here's random shit that we know people will buy. Like, I don't know. I think it's now just like they figured out how to reach a new market.
Like, the problem is they have a really good holiday flavor. It's like a cranberry pomegranate Mountain Dew.
Okay.
It's really good. I think it was called Merry Mashup or something like that. It's just fucking Fruitquake is nasty. And it looks like a bottle of just liquid shit. It's brown. It's like deep brown. It is.
Well, you've succeeded. I've sold that well. You've succeeded in making Mountain Dew even less appetizing to me. And I don't know. Yeah. I didn't know that was possible, considering I thought Mountain Dew was disgusting in and of itself. Oh, gross.
And I'm sitting here drinking my last Baja Blast.
I hope you only bought the one fruitcake one.
Oh, yeah. I bought a 20-ounce bottle.
Okay.
My sister tried it first, and she's the one who is like, it tastes like potpourri. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Then I taste it. I'm like, cough syrup and potpourri. Yeah. I thought she was joking around. I'm like, how does something taste like potpourri? It does.
Well, the food scientists at Mountain Dew locked in that amazing potpourri flavor.
This is fucking awful. Oh, Jesus.
Tastes just like grandma's house.
Mountain Dew Fruitquake. It'll make you cry.
Wait, is it called Fruitquake or Fruitcake?
Fruitquake is the name of the Mountain Dew.
But it's fruitcake flavored.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
But they have to have a fancy name.
Right, of course, that they could trademark.
I mean, that's not a particularly fancy name. It just sounds fucking stupid.
Fruitquake.
I'm sorry.
Mountain Dew Fruitquake.
I'm sorry that, you know, the execs at Mountain Dew did not run any of their marketing by you, Aki.
Fruitquake Arena. Oh,
you know, some asshole game reviewer from the fucking Midwest. We need her opinion on these things. Also, we need to get this other guy who doesn't drink any fucking sodas ever in his life to talk about them.
The thing that makes me sad is, like, you can special order on their website the past 3 years of their Voodoo lineup, which was like last year I think was Starburst, the year before was Skittles, and the first year was Candy Corn, and they were all pretty decent, and you have to spend $20 to get 6 tall cans. That's all you get.
Diabetes sure is expensive.
It is. Soda is getting really expensive lately. But like, they're selling the Voodoos. Why can't they do that in store instead of fucking Fruitquake? The Voodoo was decent. Sour.
I mean, that kind of stuff's their decision, though. I mean, they're the ones who control what's in the aisles.
Yeah.
I mean, we worked at Redner's. I mean, you remember how, like, we never touched the soda aisles because we never had to stock them.
Why?
Except for that fucking weird ass Weight Watchers one.
Fruitquake, why? It's so bad. Voodoo this year was decent. It was sour gummy worms.
That could be good. I could see it being, maybe.
Yeah. So, reviews. Should we get to them?
Sure.
Jacob, any objections?
I said, wait, I don't remember what I said.
You didn't say anything.
I think I did.
Did the edibles kick in?
They might have. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure they fucking did.
I think we might have our answer, but I'm not too sure.
What is that? Carnage linking, destroy humans.
Shit, that one game went
Carnage.
Play.
That's right. Clone Carnage, multiplayer Destroy All Humans game that came out back in May was $13. It is now free to play for all.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I didn't even know there was a multiplayer one.
Yep. So now you can get it and play it for free.
Hey, sure. We'll totally say that I'm going to play a multiplayer only game. Yeah. Because that's totally everything you know about me just screams that I would play that. Yes.
Hey, Joe.
Huh?
Did you know that on the podcast Facebook page, the intro, the text is cut off?
On Facebook?
Yeah, it says because someone... it doesn't even finish the might listen. We ran out of characters.
That's funny.
Let's see if I can...
Sucks anyway.
And yes, it has definitely kicked in.
We're gonna see if I can fix it.
Where, nope, like, where do you even see that?
It's up on the Facebook page, man.
Yeah, but
where,
like,
it says intro.
About
it should be on the left hand side.
Oh, that smell. Oh, there it is. Because someone.
Yeah, see.
I don't know how to fucking fix that. That doesn't matter.
Yeah, we can't. It won't let us add text or shit. Yeah, I think it kicked in.
First game to talk about tonight is Persona 5 Royal, developed by Atlas, published by Sega, released October 21st on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS5, and PC for $59.99. Don the Mask and join the Phantom Thieves of Hearts as they stage grand heists, infiltrate the minds of the corrupt, and make them change their ways. Aki, tell us about your time with Persona 5 Royal.
Okay, and this, you play as Joker, at least codename Joker. I don't remember his act. You get to name them whatever you want. I don't remember what their original name was. And you have gotten in serious trouble because a politician was sexually assaulting a woman and you stopped him and he accidentally bumped his head on the ground. So because of his power, fuck you is what everyone decided. So you're now living in a place that you're not familiar with some older guy that you also don't know, that apparently your family or one of their friends or something knew. And so you're sent to a brand new school that you're also not familiar with, because, you know, that's what happens when you move from one place to another. I don't even know where they originally were. And you one day get some weird thing on your phone, some app that you just can't delete, and you keep deleting it and it just keeps reappearing. You're like, okay, whatever. And then suddenly you find yourself in a castle where your school should be. And you're fighting monsters, and you don't know what's going on, and neither does the player. So it works. It all works out real nice that way. In this, you switch between your standard day cycle, which is you're a student, so you go to school, and you can go visit the different cities around and go to stores and buy shit and so on and so forth. Eventually, you even get the ability to work part-time jobs so you can make money, or you can also hang out with friends that you make over your adventures. And the other half of the equation is going into the hearts of people, is what they call it. It's basically a dream state, more or less, where you enter a person's mind. And then you fuck them up from the inside by getting rid of their terrible, disgusting, vulgar desires. For instance, the one that almost everyone knows is also the very first person. Happens to be a teacher at your school who treats all the guys like they're slaves and is abusive towards them physically, and then treats all the girls like sex toys. and abuses them sexually. So you go in and fuck up his shit because the piece of shit deserves it. And that's just the first person, and it hits that heavy that quickly. Because it's not like cavalier about this, like, oh yeah, he does this, that, and the other. No. It's very, very blunt with it, and it's not good. And from there you just, you know, find other pieces of shit being pieces of shit, and you correct them in your own special way. And to do that, you go into their heart and you fight a whole bunch of random enemies to find treasures that you steal, when the treasures are a physical manifestation of their desires. None of it makes a lot of sense. So just nod your head and say, okay, that's really all you need to do for this game.
Story-wise, this is a game that you really got to sit through and just let everything hit you. Just embrace it as it comes at you. Absorb everything, because it's complex.
Like this edible.
Oh, no.
God damn it.
Yeah, you kind of just have to let this entire game wash over you and just sink into it, because half of it isn't going to make sense until later.
And it
it's very dense and it's very slow. That's something else you really need to know about this game. It is slow as fuck. So you know, be aware of that. Like the first almost 8 hours of this game, I did almost nothing. In
dungeons, and, yeah. There's a lot of talking. There's a lot of social interaction. There's school questions that you get to deal with that can affect your relationship with people. It is such a cool experience. Like, I've been hearing people talk about this game for years because it's been on PS4 for so long. And now it's finally on Xbox, and I'm finally, despite the fact that I've owned it twice, this is the first time I've sit down and actually fired it up and started playing it. And it got its hooks in me, and it's just dragging me in.
See, from the get-go so far, I haven't been as drug into it because of how slow it is. It's a slow burn at first, and that has really, I'm more used to, you know, first person shooters where it's like action, action, action. So this one has been kind of boring for me at first. I'm hoping it picks up in the later half. I have no idea how far I actually am into this game.
From what I could tell, you're still fairly early. I checked your hours. You have like 19 hours in this game. And that's still kind of early. Like, people will say, oh, this is an 80 to 100 hour game, and you could get through the main story in like 12 hours and finish the side quests in 25. This is a 100 hour game. This is a legit 100 hour game. You open up howlongtobeat.com and you search Persona 5 Royal, it's going to tell you that it's 100 hours.
Yeah, see, I've dealt with the gym teacher, and I'm working my way into the next person. It's still been very slow throughout this, and I'm just like, I really just wanted to pick it up. Like, if this was all just the battle system, and then a day or two outside, and then the battle system again, I'd personally be more into the game, just because there'd be more action, and that's I need a constant stream of bright, colorful things going on, or else my little childlike brain just kind of zones out.
Your ADD needs more satisfaction.
Yes, and especially at the beginning of the game, they put a lot on you really quickly. And if you don't get absolutely everything that's going on and just fully just grasp it, it makes it so much worse, and I didn't fully get everything that was going on as they were explaining it. I was like, okay.
Yeah, this isn't a game to button mash through. It's something, you yell at people for skipping through visual novels. This is half visual novel.
Yeah, very much so. I think it's more than half. I think this is probably like 70% visual novel.
Again, you're still early in the game. Like, I'm looking at how long to beat right now. Main story, 103 hours. Completionist, 143 hours.
Price is that low. I figured it'd be like 180 minimum.
Yeah. So this is a game that, you know, we could revisit in a month and you can have a whole different story to tell.
That is very possible, and I'd be okay with doing that, providing I have the time anyways.
Well, yeah, it's a $60 game. Based on your time, your first 20 hours with the game, what are your thoughts on it so far?
I think if you like just social interactions and talking with people and, you know, a life simulator like Shenmue and the such, I think you'll like this game a lot. If you're like, oh, I have ADHD, this is clearly not the game for you. You're not going to understand anything that's going on or care, and you need the care for this kind of game. So I think it's a tentative try it for most people, especially since it's on Game Pass. I suggest trying it just to see if you jive with it, and if you do, then obviously it's a buy it. And if not, well, then at least you gave it a chance.
Yeah. I think that's the most important thing you could do is give this a download because it's on Game Pass. Fire it up, put a few hours into it, see if you jive with it. If not, it was just an afternoon you wasted. And if you do, say goodbye to the rest of your month.
Or more. Because from what I understand, it takes like 140 hours just to beat it the first time. And then you have apparently like a new game plus where you can continue to level your character up and stuff. And I'm just like, oh, fuck my life. Okay, so this is what this is going to be my life for the next like 3 months. Okay, cool.
All right. Well, I am going to officially put this back onto your list to revisit in a few weeks, and we'll talk about it again. I'm eager to hear what you think as you get further into it.
Plan.
All right. Well, next game is Warhammer 40,000 Shooter's Blood and Teeth. That didn't sound right. Let me try it again.
Warhammer 40,000 Shooter's Blood and Teeth.
Yeah, it sounds better. Developed and published by Rogueside. Released October 20th on Switch and PC. 25th on Xbox One and Series X and S for $19.99. Coming to PlayStation in December. From the developers of Guns, Gore, and Cannoli franchise comes a new 2D run-and-gun platformer. Warhammer 40,000 Shooter's Blood and Teeth. Spearhead an orc invasion. Destroy the Hive City. And kill your war boss.
Here we go. Jacob.
What?
You're doing that pretty well.
I know. Tell us about the game.
So, yeah. So, I've played a few Warhammer shooters before, but it's always been from the Imperium side. You know, for honor, for glory, for the Empire. Like, you know, guys who, like, live, like, 3,000 friggin' years. But, so, I've never gotten to play on this side. And, yeah. So, and I'm blanking on their name.
Green Tide?
No, or is that what the orcs? Orcs.
Oh,
jeez. Yeah. Anyway, orcs. Huh?
I said the orcs in the beginning.
Yeah, but I don't listen to you at the beginning. We have a history of that. Anyway, so this time you're playing as an orc who got knocked off your ship because your war chief wanted your hat. He thought it looked very snazzy, and he's only the one allowed to be wearing snazzy stuff. So this is a 2D action platformer shooter, and pretty much you're just going through levels, and you're shooting up humans, and you're also shooting up some orcs who are against you for whatever reason. And you have to make it through the different levels, and they have various dangers like electricity that's out, fire that's out. And like you just have to, sometimes you have to figure out how to be able to get to certain areas because, of course, there's loot that you have to pick up too. And loot comes in very important for this game because you have to use that to upgrade, not only upgrade your weapons to have different stuff, like it can shoot like bullets more rapidly that explode. There's like an electric gun. There's a fire gun. That
you're not that necessarily kind of upgrading your guns. You're just
you're getting different ones. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, you are correct on that. Because then you can also
Warhammer, but the hammers aren't at war. I call it fake news. Thank you, Fimber.
But yeah. So, anyways, yeah. So you advance through that, and it's just kill everything on site, gather your loot, get more shit, go back at it. And you, I believe it supports four player.
Yes, co-op. It is four player online co-op. Actually played it earlier today with Carnage and Dopey and Timber with the IDE stream. And when Carnage and I first played it like a week ago, we got up to the second major boss, this tank.
Yep.
A giant tank.
That's where I got stuck.
Fuck this tank.
Fuck that tank. I haven't dealt with a tank that I hated so damn much since Doom 3.
So on stream today, we got to a tank and we took it down super quick. And then we forgot that there was just a little tank earlier in the level and the big tank was later. We got to the big tank. Fuck that tank.
Hold on. What do you mean by a little tank? Now I'm wondering if I got fucking stumped by the little.
Was there little a cutscene before the tank?
I don't recall.
Yeah, because if you've just fought a normal tank, you got another one to go, and you're not gonna have fun with the other one.
Oh no!
Yeah, and the second one, it has two stages to it. So that's
God.
Maybe it has three. We don't know. We haven't beaten it.
Yeah. Okay. Fuck.
Yeah. This is a tough game.
It's tough. Yeah. And I have it set on easy too. But at the same time, I can tell that this is like a game that's an absolute blast to play with other people. And frankly, the Warhammer series has actually never steered me wrong. I still fondly play Kill Team every once in a while on my Xbox 360.
Nice.
If you remember that one. Yeah. So yeah. I really honestly like the cartoonish graphics of it are fun. Like, I mean, the game is hard as hell, but the bosses are hard anyway. But yeah, I just have a lot of fun just shooting everything and just like, you know, trying out different stuff. And I do appreciate that the game has regular checkpoints. That not only act as like save points for like when you die, but you can also change your loadout at them. So if something didn't work for a previous area, you can go back, switch out your weapons, and then try it again and see if you can figure out something different to get you past it.
Oh, well, the game is sitting at $20. What are your thoughts on it?
Absolutely. I really enjoyed this one, and I think our listeners will too.
Cool. All right, next up is Resident Evil Village, developed and published by Capcom. It is available on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC. I don't remember what I think the current gold bundle is $49.99. Experience survival horror like never before in the eighth major installment in the story's Resident Evil franchise, Resident Evil Village. Now with the Winter's expansion, including a new scenario starring a grown-up Rose whose kidnapping as a baby kicked off the original game. Aki, you are going to take care of the Winter's expansion next week on the show, but since this is your first time checking out Resident Evil Village, you wanted to just talk about the game first, right?
Yes.
So, what are your thoughts on Resident Evil Village?
I think it's a real step up from 7. The amount of weapons you have is much better, and Ethan isn't an incompetent shit when it comes to using them, which is pretty fantastic. it also uses the same system that apparently the second and third remake games did, where you can upgrade the weapons, and once they're fully upgraded and you've beaten the campaign, you can turn around and buy like infinite ammo for them and stuff for your next playthroughs, which is really super useful. Because I've done that with one of the strongest guns in the game, and it made killing the bosses really quickly much more readily doable, finally. Because there's a lot of challenges you have to do in order to get these points, and some of them are for killing the bosses in under X amount of time. And they're not easy unless you have like really good weapons and probably infinite ammo. But I think that some of the levels could have been drawn out a bit longer, but otherwise I've really enjoyed this much more than I did 7. I liked 7. That was the first one I've liked since 5. And I've played all of them since 4. So, which doesn't sound like there's a lot, but there's a lot more than just 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 that showed up there, because they don't know how to fucking count. But yeah, I've thoroughly enjoyed this. Part of the updates for the game was they added a third person mode.
That's what I want to know about, because I played Village when it first came out, and you know, I can kind of handle the first person, but I'm not good at it.
See, I'm usually good with both. I think they've done third person fairly well, but it's very limited currently. I don't know if they plan on expanding it at all, but for instance, you can't swap which shoulder you're looking over, or at least if you can, I haven't figured out how. And for me, that's a pretty heavy detriment towards the third person, because I like to switch when I need to. Otherwise, it's generally fairly okay. When you aim the gun, it doesn't bring you into first person or anything. You're still in third person over the shoulder. I personally would have preferred when I was aiming the gun, like properly aiming, it brought me into first person just so I could, you know, be a little more accurate. But not everyone likes that. So I understand that they chose not to do that, but not being able to switch shoulders just kills it. Because that is something that should be there. Otherwise, no, it's fine. It does make getting around some of the more tighter terrain a little more difficult. Because again, you can't switch shoulders or anything, which makes the camera bug out a little. But otherwise, yeah, it's fine so far. Nice. I prefer first person, just because I think it's easier to aim the guns that way.
That makes sense.
And then I've also played some of the Mercenaries mode, which was also added, and I didn't think I'd like it because it's a score attack type game. It's kill a lot of enemies really quickly to get multipliers for your score and then finish the level. And, you know, we'll give you new items for this game mode based on what rank you got. And I didn't think I'd like it. And then I spent like 2 or 3 hours playing it. You get to pick between originally just two characters. You could pick Ethan. He can buy some of his standard weapons as well as upgrade them. Or you can play as Chris, you know, the boulder punching idiot.
Boulder punching idiot.
Yeah. And for him, he punches things. He treats everyone like a boulder. So instead of having weapons, he just like straight punches, hooks, uppercuts instead. It's so weird. I don't like playing as him because it throws me off so much.
That's funny.
But after, you know, as long as he's keeping up a good combo and doing things quickly, he also builds up this overcharge or something meter where he goes ballistic when it's reached the top and you click the buttons to let him go ballistic, and everything he does is much stronger. He can fuck things up pretty quickly. But personally, I prefer using guns because I don't like being right in front of enemies, because Chris does not have healing items. So any damage you take, you just take. That it is what it is. You don't get the heal, which makes things like this kind of difficult. So I don't like playing as him because he can't guard either. So it really sucks.
Is that you said that's the multiplayer mode? Is that the Reverse separate app, or is that?
No, this is Mercenaries. It's not multiplayer. It's
all right.
Gore Tech type gotcha. Mode. I haven't touched Reverse because I don't really feel the need to. If you've played what was it, two or three, one of them had it in it, it's the same thing. It's included with all the newer ones. I think it's 4v1 type game mode where someone plays as a big bad and everyone else plays as survivors trying to escape. And I don't give a fuck personally. That's just not a mode that's for me. I could not care less.
Well, Resident Evil is sitting at $40 for itself, $50 for the gold edition that includes the winter expansion. We'll talk more about the winter expansion next week, but for the game itself, what are your thoughts?
If the winter expansion is anything remotely as good as the main game has been, I think the gold edition is fantastic, especially since it's only $50. That's crazy. I figured it'd be like 60 or 70 at least. So I thoroughly enjoy this game, and you're going to have to play through the main game a few times in order to get all the achievements, because there is one for, you know, for beating it normally, for beating it under 3 hours. And I was so close. That's actually what I was doing when the podcast started. I beat it in 3 hours and 7 minutes. Oh, it fucking kills me. And then there's like one for beating it with only using a melee and no guns. I don't know when I'll try that. And then there's one for beating it on each progressive difficulty. I assume they probably stack, but you have to beat the game once to unlock the hardest difficulty. And you don't want to play that until you've gotten infinite weapons, because you're going to be butt fucked.
So, oh, you have a way with words, Aki.
I know, I'm fantastic. So no, I fully support this game. It is fucking fantastic, especially if you like action games. This isn't as psychological as some of the prior ones, so go for it. It's bitchin'.
Cool. All right, next up is Final Vendetta, developed by Bitmap Bureau, published by Numbskull Games, released back in June for Xbox, Switch, and PlayStation for $24.99. Final Vendetta is a hard-hitting action-packed beat-em-up for one or two players in the vein of classic arcade titles, featuring stunning pixel art and a thumping soundtrack with exclusive tracks from Utah Saints. Brawl with bad dudes and tough girls as you fight through dangerous environments. Jacob, what is going on in Final Vendetta besides some fucking Utah Saints?
I know, like, wait, shit. Oh, sorry, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Sorry, I'm wearing the lavender microphones that I had reviewed earlier in the year, and I had the mic flipped up. So
we could still hear you even when it was up.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
All right. We need to re-review this headset, because apparently that feature doesn't fucking work. Anyway. So, Final Vendetta. It is this awesome pixel graphic, or it's made to look pixel graphic, beat 'em up, like retro beat 'em up, that's very much in the vein of Streets of Rage. And holy shit, I cannot stress enough that not only is the gameplay awesome, but holy shit, like the sprite work on this is just absolutely beautiful. Like everyone's motions are just so vivid, and it just, like, I don't want to say clear is not the correct word that I want to use for it. It's just like, it's got like a great sharp flow to it. Sharp. It just doesn't look janky at all. And it's just like, as I played through the game, which, you know, like, is a ton of fun. I mean, if you play Streets of Rage or Final Fight, you already know what you're doing in this game. And it's pretty much like the same kind of like plot line along with it. But yeah, like, I just found myself just staring at the graphics more often than not with this game. Like, it is a beautiful sight to behold for this genre. But yeah, as I was saying, like, gameplay is the standard stuff, you know, punch, kick, super kick, you know, you have a super move, or not super kick, but super move. And if you use your super move, you know, at a point other than like a full meter, then it takes away some of your health. Standard stuff. End levels present you with bosses, you know, and of course you have to figure out their different ways of moving around. But yeah, like, it's just, this is a really awesome game. I highly recommend everyone who is like a fan of the beat 'em up genre, definitely check this out. Like, do not sleep on this title.
Did you play it all, Joe? Through that thing. No, I don't have this one, unfortunately. This has been on my wish list for months, and I haven't heard any opinions on it. And the fact that you're talking so highly of it has me very interested in it.
Yeah, like I'm not kidding when I say I was blown away by this game. Because honestly, most of the beat 'em ups that I'm on, like that I review on here, I'm just like, all right, yeah, it's going to be like an easy review. You know, they all play the same and stuff like that. I'm dead serious when I said, like, I spent most of my time just like watching the graphics. Like, it's just whoever did the art for this game, like, holy shit, you fucking knocked it out of the park.
Nice. Well, the game's $25. What are your thoughts on it?
Absolutely. Cheap ass Jacob says you need to go buy it now.
Hey, well, I don't have $25, but I will.
Get it!
Jesus, you don't have to yell at me.
Yes, I do. Go get it, Joe. Stop recording. Go get $25.
Your lips go through all kinds of abuse. Chapped, bitten, split, puckered, duck-shaped for MySpace. So we combined the two best things in life into a portable plastic cylinder. Smooth lips and almost fully cooked pancakes. Introducing Wet Pancakes Beeswax Lip Balm. With only the best coconut, sweet almond, avocado and saccharin oils, beeswax, and flavor. With a U. What flavor is it? We're not sure. Might be pancake. You don't know. So pick up a couple of sticks for yourself and your friends. And that creepy guy standing behind you looking over your shoulder. Some assembly required. Not FDIC insured. Does not contain actual pancakes or Nordics. Restrictions may apply. Go for the gold. Pizza Pizza. Your mom may or may not be sponsored by the SML podcast. Joe Cam loves you. Peace out.
All right. Now that I bought the game and we are back, Jacob, are you happy now?
Yes, I'm very happy. Ecstatic, yeah. Some might even say.
Cool. Next game to talk about is the Entropy Center, developed by Stubby Games. Jacob, are you related? published by PlayStack, released November 3rd on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5, and PC for $24.99. Manipulate time in the cerebral first-person puzzle game, uncover the secrets of the mysterious Entropy Center, and reveal the hidden truth behind its untimely demise. Aki, what is going on in the Entropy Center?
Okay, in this, you play as a woman who has just woken up in a strange, unknown fucking place. And you go searching around trying to figure out where the fuck you are and what the fuck you're doing here. And yeah, you end up finding a gun that has a robot head attached to it. And with that, you start your adventure. And the robot is a cheeky little shit, and I love it. This is very much like Portal, in that you use a gun to solve puzzles. In this, you pick up different objects, kind of like you do in Portal, and you put them on pressure plates and stuff. Again, a lot like Portal. Except for in this game, instead of using portals, you can fire your gun at the thing, and it rewinds time on it, taking it wherever you walked it for the past, I think it's 30 seconds. Eventually, you seem to be able to go longer, but it doesn't ever actually explain how long, and sometimes when you restart a level, it lowers how long you can go. So I don't really know if that's a bug or not. Eventually you get introduced to different blocks than just the standard cube. I don't know what any of these are properly called, so I'm just going by what they were called in Portal. You get ones that let you jump really high. You find some that make little walkways for you and things like that. There's even some areas where you can put the cube through, and it changes what kind of cube it is. Hmm. So you can turn it into a jump cube and then turn it into a different cube and so on and so forth. Also, you can move things around and set it up basically backwards is what you have to do. Basically, you have to figure out how you're going to solve it and then work your way backwards, because as you rewind the item, obviously it's going to go to the last area that you had it. Well, if it's as such, you need to solve it backwards so it moves to the area where you need the block to land to open the door. So it's really out there. because you have to solve it and then work your way through it backwards.
Ember says this game is difficult. Like, how can we make Portal 3 without getting sued?
Basically, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with that either.
No, I love this game so far. It is really fun. You get to pet a robot in it, even, which is fantastic. I loved that. Because when you first are walking around, this large robot that's probably half the size of a human explodes through a wall on its like singular wheel, I think. And it has this face and this big post-it note, basically, of the letter E slapped on its forehead. And it keeps showing up and other robots like it show up and you can pet them. And it's fantastic. And I love it. And it's just a metal box. It's not like, oh, it looks like a dog or anything. No, it's just a box. And you get to pet it anyways. And then there's the robot that's actually your gun. It can view you, but only through the screen. So your character has on occasion be like, oh, did you see that? And it's like, no, all I see is your chin. It's an amazing chin. And stuff like that. The AI's banter with the player character is amazing. I might like that more than the actual game itself, even. It is so well written. Because the AI develops based on it's not on you, but on your character. From their interactions with each other. Like, your character might mention that they like cats or something. So later on, the robot starts just spouting off random facts about cats because it's trying to make you happy. And your character's like, no, no, no. Why are you telling me this random shit? Stop. And things like that. It is so great. It does get hard, but it very slowly gets harder and harder. So it's not like, oh, I beat this level and now I just can't figure anything out. You slowly just work to the point where you realize I'm too stupid to actually solve this puzzle anymore. Which is where I hit. it took me 11 chapters to do it, but I finally hit a point in chapter 11 where I was like, no, I'm too damn dumb to solve this. And I kept trying to solve it. I spent probably a couple hours on that, and then I just gave up because I'm like, I'm not getting it. I can see how to solve it, but I don't have enough time to revert the block backwards. So I don't know where I can shave off time. So I've kind of been just ever so slightly screwed. So I will need a guide for this. Nice. But there are some hidden stuff you can find. Basically, you can find computers that you can interact with where you can see background of some of the people that worked here. Because you're the only living person here. This place is defunct. It's fallen apart. And the planet's exploding, which is what you're trying to stop. You don't know how or why it's exploding, but you know you can reverse it. That's the entire point of this place, is this entropy center, is to stop the planet from being destroyed. So, and you're the only one working there right now, even though you don't remember ever becoming an employee. So it's fun. Yeah, I really enjoy this. And if you like Portal, you're going to fucking love this. It is amazing, especially if you liked Portal 2. This is great. You're going to love it.
And who doesn't like Portal, really?
I don't know, but there are people who don't like Portal 2, which blows my fucking mind, because Wheatley was fantastic.
Yeah. Well, this one's $25. What do you say?
Yes. Totally yes. This is an amazing game. I fucking love this thing.
Cool. All right. Next up is Park Story, developed and published by Person of Interests. Released October 20th on Xbox One, Series X and S, and PC for $19.99. Unravel handcrafted puzzle dungeons and confront your demons in Park Story, a reimagination of the classic down action RPG. Trapped, Parker must defeat Kaim to escape the haunted Mahagao Glen County Park. Hopefully I said that right. Helping friendly ghosts and unlocking the park's deepest secrets. Jacob, tell us a bit about your time with Park Story.
It was very confusing, to be honest.
I concur.
Like, the game doesn't really provide you of any actual options to do anything with. And there's also a lot of text in the game, which I'm like, whatever, as long as I can read it. But yeah, like, so you just, like, your character wakes up in this park, and you realize, like, you've wrecked your car, but there's this, like, cat that's talking to you, and you're like, oh, maybe I should go follow this cat. And as you try to follow the cat, that's when, like, you have to start solving puzzles in this game. And holy shit, because you don't know how anything works in the game, like, there I am just walking aimlessly in the woods, like testing every single button on everything, because again, the game doesn't tell you, like, oh, if you use X, you gotta pick up and stuff like that. Okay, what am I supposed to pick up? I didn't see where the fuck the cat went. Where am I supposed to be going? And then, like, you also have a map that, as you progress through the game, it gets, you know, it gets more filled out, thank God. Because initially the map you have is just absolutely useless. But yeah. And then it's a lot of walking and trying to figure out how to get from point A to point B. And I didn't really get to talk to any of the, like, the NPCs that got shown in the trailer. Cause I spent more time just walking around, just trying to figure out where the hell I'm supposed to be going. Like, is a game that needs a guide.
This is a game that also needs a run button.
Oh God, yeah, that's true.
The walking.
Wait, you mean you didn't just tumble everywhere?
I did. I would roll everywhere because it was so much faster. The walking in this game is really slow, but it's worse that when you change directions, it slows down until it builds momentum up again. Like, that's stupid. I know it's momentum. Look, it's cool physics. Just let me walk at normal constant speed that's fast enough that I don't have to roll everywhere.
Yeah, I...
Especially when so many of the puzzles in the game require you to go to A to B to C to D to B to D to A to B to C to D to A to B. There was so much backtracking and retracking in this game that I wasn't having fun with it, which sucks because it looked cute.
Yeah, the trailer that I watched for this, like, I was looking forward to, like, meeting all these different creatures, but it's just this game needs a better way of introducing the world and how it works at the beginning. It's either that or else, you know, toss us a free strategy guide.
Visually, I think the game has a distinct style. Some might call it unique.
It's very reminiscent of, like, yeah, I mean, it's reminiscent of, like, late 80s, early 90s action game, or, you know, point and click adventure games, like even mid 90s.
It's going to be a love it or hate it kind of style. Music didn't really offend me in any way. It was just kind of there.
One thing that I thought was interesting is that that music, when you're just trying to get into the park, like, and figuring out how the fuck the fence works, did it sound like it broke into, like, a Final Fantasy, like, it sounded very similar to Final Fantasy I's music?
I don't think it sounded, I think it may have, like, been, it, like, had an homage, like, but I don't think
like that thing.
I don't know. I don't think it was close enough to, I don't know.
Okay. I mean,
that's what I think. The game is $20. What are your thoughts on it?
I mean, I'd give it a try. Like, it looks like it would be an interesting ride. It's just, you know, we need to be able to read the manual to go with it.
Yeah, it could use more guidance. It could use a run button. It could use more intuitive puzzles and more straightforward puzzles. Like, I hate backtracking. Don't make me run everywhere just to get to one place that, like, I could hop a door and I would have been there instead of, like, dropping 20 buckets over here and riding this plank down to here and putting this over there and then falling off over here. And I don't know.
I get why it's set up that way, but it just, like, with a game that already wasn't clear about how things work, it just made the experience more frustrating.
Yeah, especially at $20. If this was a $10 game, I could overlook so much, but at $20, you really got to bring it.
Yeah.
Next game is Necro Boy, Path to Evilship, developed by Chillin' Wolf, published by Gravity Gamer Eyes. Released October 31st on Steam for $19.99. Necro Boy, Path to Evilship tells the story of a young necromancer aiming to become the greatest lord of evil. Using his dark powers, he's bringing his necro minions back to life to do his bidding and solve puzzles to venture forth into the crypt of his infamous hero, Necroman. Our friend Andy Sperry wrote in a review of this one, and this is what he's got to say. The story begins in the kingdom of Nakara. A young boy left alone to fend for himself in the woods realizes his true powers in necromancy, becoming Necroboy. Necroboy's hatred for those who have abandoned him, combined with his newfound powers, quickly turns onto the path of evil. Despite all this rejection, Necroboy finds a new hero in Necroman, the greatest lord of evil that ever set foot in this realm, who once ruled and controlled using powers similar to Necroboy's. Like Wonderboy? Wonderboy! No Tenacious D fans.
God, Tuck.
Never really got into them.
What is the secret of your power, Wonder Boy? Anyway, in this game, Necro Boy and his lackey, a spirit resurrected from the dead, set foot within the tomb of Necroman to recover a hidden artifact that will help Necro Boy on his path to evilship. Summoning the spirits of the dead, this megalomaniac child uses his companions of evil to help him solve over 30 different dungeon-themed puzzles set within the tomb, each increasing in difficulty as they progress. Simple controls are explained over the first few levels of the game in a conversational manner between Necro Boy and Lackey, who less than wholeheartedly believes in his new master. Basic movement with a 360-degree camera and the ability to summon spirits of the dead are the main controls of the game, with a few additional necromantic commands. Soul Command causes the spirit to flip a switch or move a box. Soul Link helps the player visualize which switches control corresponding doors within the dungeon. The Freeze and Revive command allows Necroboy's minions to stop in place or carry out tasks from close range or at a distance. All commands are used throughout the game to solve the puzzles, which involve a variety of movements, like flipping corresponding switches for locked doors or avoiding fire to reach the end. The spirits or minions take form of ghostly skulls, the purest form of evil. I thought, like, elves were the purest form of evil.
Only if they're on a shelf.
Okay. A total of 8 ghoulish forms are found within the game for the player to discover and customize their necro minions. This added some nice variety to the game. The music had a nice eerie feel, sounding like it was played on a harpsichord. It was simple and didn't distract from the puzzle solving. The 3D imagery and classic look of stone and fire, the statues and piles of bones combined with the cartoonish imagery of Necro Boy, Lackey, and Spirits of the Dead during dialogue phases came together to create a very well done dungeon. Dungeon. The game also had a much deeper story than was expected. Necro Boy is out for revenge to prove himself and remake himself in the image of his fallen idol, Necroman. His quest is for the artifact, the Necronos, which will help him achieve world domination. While mostly lighthearted and sometimes comedic, the player learns some pretty interesting things about Necro Boy, and a variety of emotional themes are covered by the end of the story. Necro Boy's feelings of abandonment, jealousy, and lack of acceptance in the world bring those meant to serve Necro Boy to feel sorry for him. That was unexpected in a game like this, and it kept my attention. The game is a great puzzle-solving adventure. A few minor inconveniences were encountered that weren't game-enders, but hopefully could be fixed within the next few weeks. Minions would get stuck on themselves or objects within the game, and sometimes even fall off ledges, which resulted in backward movement or even having to restart a level. This is more frustrating on in later levels as the puzzles were much longer, and restarting meant more time wasted, which sucks. Aside from that, the gameplay was simple and smooth. Necro Boy is a puzzler for those looking for something a little different, and players get that with the backstory and character development. It was developed by Chillin' Wolf, published by Gravity Gamer Eyes, and released on October 31st, just in time for Halloween, which is right before this episode was recorded, and we are covering this late.
Good job.
Yeah, buddy. Hey, we do what we can on this show, right?
Sure.
I was super confused by that.
By what?
I realized you were reading for a very long time, and I was like, wait a second, is he reading like the description of like two games back to back? And then I realized, I think that's like a written review that you were reading.
His edibles are pretty good, aren't they?
Yeah, I would say so.
Next game is Escape String, developed by Seven Raven Studios, published by Total Console, released October 25th on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $6.99. Escape String is a 2D puzzle game set in an undefined time and place. A small humanoid robot wakes up in the debris of a landfill inside a large factory. He receives strange and enigmatic messages from someone who is apparently trying to help him. The robot's purpose is to explore the large factory, where he's in search of answers about who he is and his mysterious remote helper. Jacob, what is Escape String?
So Escape String is a puzzle game that personally I was excited about, because when I watched the gameplay trailer for it, I was already familiar with this through an app that both of my kids play called Code Spark Academy. And essentially what it does is that it teaches kids programming skills. And like, it's very basic stuff, obviously. Like, my kid's not like now programming in C++ in kindergarten, but,
that would be amazing, by the way.
It would be amazing.
Not like, with that honestly, attitude. They're not,
but like, it's simple stuff, you know, based on movements. And so like, initially you have to like, be able to guess like how far like hitting right goes, and you know, like what happens if you hit up. Do you actually jump, or do you just raise up? Do you have to program it so you jump? All that kind of stuff. So it was gameplay that I was very familiar with. And with this, you have to guide this robot, and it's, as I said, like you have to program how it's going to move. And so like the initial room is just get out of the room. Like there's no traps or anything like that. And so you just enter in right, like the right command, like three or four times. And then you hope for the best that, you know, this gets the robot out of the room. Otherwise you can reset it, or you can do a second string of commands for it, but you're not allowed to have more than three commands in like one game, or sorry, string of commands in one game. But yeah, so you have to like start dodging different traps, and most of it's like easy stuff. I mean, like it introduces, you know, get past this electric thing by jumping over it, get past these pits, jump over them. And it's a lot of trial and error. And thankfully, like, I mean, the game is aimed, you know, at like the same demographic that, you know, my kids app goes for. And so it's very simplistic, and it doesn't hold your hand necessarily. I mean, if you read the tutorial, it does give a rundown, and it does try to show you some of the stuff during the game, but you know, it doesn't do a lot of hand holding, but it's not like mean or negative about, you know, messing up on a level either. Like, I mean, like you may get like a, you know, code error screen, and that's it, you know. It's like, so I was kind of pleased with that as a parent. But yeah, like the puzzles, like they're not the most challenging things, but again, it's not so much, I mean, some of it is based on the challenge, because you have to like learn how to go in between strings to like make multiple commands, because like later puzzles, it's not only do you have to move forward, but you have to duck under something, continue moving forward, and then get out of the room, however you want to go about doing that. And so you have to learn how to program that kind of stuff. And that's where it starts getting a little hairy, because you only find that out through the tutorial. And the tutorial, like, if, I mean, it seemed that, like, you know, I mean, granted, this is like a pretty wide area, but I mean, like, my kids are not going to be able to read that tutorial and figure out what the heck it's saying. But yeah, so I wish that, like, it would do some more explaining, but honestly, it's a good challenge. I liked it. And then, like, my oldest son is really excited to play it, so it's gonna have some nice longevity on my Xbox.
Cool. Well, it's $7. What are your thoughts on Escape String for $6.99?
Absolutely. I mean, the game that's actually like what a month of Code Spark Academy costs. So Like, just think of doing it like, you know, like the same stuff in a different way. Yes. And there you go.
Cool. All right, moving on. Next game is Signalis, developed by Rose Engine, published by Humble Games, released October 27th for Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and PC, $19.99. Awaken from slumber and explore a surreal retro tech world as Elster, a technician Republica, searching for her lost partner and her lost dreams, discover terrifying secrets, challenging puzzles, and nightmarish creatures in a tense and melancholic experience of cosmic dread and classic psychological survival horror. Aki, tell us about your time with this one.
Okay, this is an isometric horror game that is very kind of Dead Space mixed with what the hell was it? System Shock type game. You play as a replicant, and they're basically replicas of people. Everyone in this game is some form of a replicant. They all have a personality. They're mass-produced, and their personality is based off of a singular individual for each line. And you're going to this colony that's on this icy shithole for reasons I don't fully understand. And there's some sort of biological contaminant where this giant, it's like the human's insides are growing everywhere in this building. It's just this giant mass of flesh, pustule flesh that's disgusting. And it's infecting some of the different types of replicants, making them go batshit insane and killing people. Fun.
Yeah.
So you basically have to fight your way through them. The problem is, because they're also robotic, after you kill them, they sometimes get up, which sucks. One of the worst parts of this game, as far as I'm concerned. I fucking hate that mechanic. When I kill something, I want it to be fucking dead, or let me curve stomp its head into oblivion. Whatever. I just don't want to fight it again. So you're searching for your partner, who is your partner as well. So nice little lesbian story going on. Yippee. And everyone who's gone crazy has started to awaken to the person's memories that they were based off of. Because for some reason, they take people's memories and their personality and stuff and create these replicants with them, but then block all the memories away. And when those memories start coming back, they go crazy because that's not their memories. That's someone else's memories, and they slowly get taken over by it. Why they don't just be like, oh yeah, you're you. You signed up for this, and this isn't your real body, and just move on like that. I don't know why. I don't get it. They don't explain that. And yeah, you're going through this area, just dealing with these monstrosities, trying to find your partner, and occasionally finding an uninfected person who you can interact with. You get a little bit more backstory. You can also find audio logs and other pieces of paper that are notes written by other replicants of different areas and such to give a lot more backstory. And all the while, you're occasionally getting flashbacks to who knows when or where of possibly a prior life. Who knows? Again, you don't know if this is your character's life or if this is a memory of the prior person's life. Fun. You're going to die a lot in this game, and this game doesn't end when you actually beat the game either. After you beat the game, you start the game again, and you start it in a brand new place, which has confused people because it just takes you, once you beat the game, it just takes you to the main menu. But that's only half of the story. So you have to go click to begin the game again, and you start in a new area and continue the actual story. They really shouldn't have done that, because that has confused people even on the Steam forums. It gives a very creepy atmosphere, and with the enemies, you don't know when they're going to get back up, and this has limited ammo. So it can get kind of tense sometimes. And by sometimes, I mean a lot of
the time.
There were times when I had an abundance of ammo, but there's also a few boss fights in here. So I really didn't want to use the ammo, because if you use your ammo, you're not going to beat the boss, obviously, because you don't have any ammo, which happened to me twice. There's some puzzles in this game. They're mostly, hey, you need to turn this thing on, this radio signal on, and you have to play this specific thing, and then you can turn on your own radio to that signal and play that song or noise or whatever to open this box that's based on an audio thing. Or, you know, you have to figure out how to open these doors by collecting key cards.
Yay, key cards.
Yeah. That's about the most complex, the complexity of the puzzles in this game. They're basically fetch quests, which I'm fine with. This game is really good. However, you're going to need a walkthrough if anyone can figure out how to make a fucking walkthrough for this fucking game. In order to get all the achievements, because none of the descriptions tell you anything. They're all worthless.
It's one of those.
Yeah, like, it'll have something, but, like, here's the description of one of the achievements. Theseus's ship. I know what Theseus's ship is, but that don't fucking help me with figuring out what the hell I'm supposed to do for the fucking achievement.
You have to replace everything.
But where? On what?
I don't know. I
mean, exactly. That's the problem. Yeah, I know what Theseus' ship is. That doesn't help, though. As far as I know, you don't actually have to replace anything. This could just be random word salad.
What they want you to do is just make an HD remaster of the game and just replace everything.
Oh, if they did, that'd be really cool.
Theseus die 16 times.
Someone's already figured this out. Oh, sweet.
True achievements, Aki.
Hey, when I was playing it, they didn't have any of those up. Okay, fuck you. All right, good. So now I'll be able to actually solve it. I don't think I died but like two or three times in my entire playthrough. And every one of those times was basically I ran out of ammo in a boss fight because I had shot too much beforehand because fucking things kept getting up.
This says die 16 times. The triangles on your diagnostic screen should turn red. Once every single one is red, you should get the achievement.
Huh. Interesting.
And there's 120 gamer score just waiting for you.
Yeah. Now I'm going to have to go there and look up the rest of them I don't have, because I played through it and I got about half of the achievement.
Damn. There's a guide for every achievement, so true achievements, folks. Use it.
As much as I hate it, it's sometimes useful.
It's very
just
useful.
Don't make an account there. That's completely worthless. No one really... Only if you really get banned. Well, on top of that, people there just, they don't like to boost anymore, really, unless it's a brand new game. Like, back when I used to use it a lot, all the games, there was always people boosting most of them. Even if they were like 4 or 5 years old, there were still people boosting them. Now, the game's more than like a couple months old. You might find someone boosting it. Maybe.
Carnage, he'll boost anything.
No, he won't. I've been trying to get him to help me boost a game for months and months and months now, and he refuses. Though I started Crossfire? Crossfire X.
I don't have that one, so I can't help.
Motherfucker was the one who told us all to play the goddamn thing. I played it. I fucking hate it. I want to boost the achievements real quick, because I can get almost every achievement in a single game just playing one game. And he won't do it because he's a dick.
Well, Signalis is $20. What do you think?
I'm totally for it. I really like this, and I hope it sells well. And I hope at some point they do remake it. I would like to see this in a 3D art style.
Nice.
I think that would be so cool.
Ooh, well, we got one final game to talk about tonight. It's called Caterpillar, developed by Grin Robot, published by Desert Water Games, released November 4th on Xbox One and Series X. NES for $4.99 and Windows 10 for $4.99, separate purchases. Caterpillar is a 2D puzzle platformer that immerses you in an atmosphere of safety and meditativeness. Can you help the caterpillar to become a butterfly? Jacob, what is Caterpillar?
Meditativeness? They used that in the description, huh?
That's what it says.
Joe, do you like achievements?
Yes.
I do.
Aki, do you like getting, like, you know, 1,000 achievement points in like 5-10 minute
stops? Oh, yes. Yes, yes, I do. Very much so, yes.
Well, then, I think we all know what rating this game is getting.
How about you tell us about the game first?
Drop it, bitch!
So, it's a, like, Neospheric, a puzzle
plot. Thank you for coming in and dropping 500 biddies. Always good seeing you here. Hope you're doing well in Rock Band. I gotta watch
dropping
you play more Rock
biddies
Band.
Biddies on Joe's titties.
Dropping biddies on Joe's fat tits.
I told Norg that you want that, and he just laughed.
It works so well.
Sorry, Grin Robot and Desert Water Games. We just ruined this review.
I don't know about that. I think we just made this motherfucker better.
I mean, the majority of people who wanted to hear about Caterpillar heard the first minute of the review and were like, yeah, there's $5 bought. Okay, downloading.
And $10. Because, you know, you got to stack those.
Oh, well, that's if you care about the stack.
Oh, well.
If you're getting it for achievements, you care about the stack.
Yeah, of course. Right. And that's who was going to buy this game. We all know. So it is a puzzle platformer game where you play as a caterpillar and you have to collect these, like, little, I don't know, bits of pollen. I don't know what the fuck they're supposed to be. Anyways, you collect them. And you have to avoid other stuff like standard platforming stuff and enemies like bees or wasps. I think they're wasps. I don't know. But anyway. So yeah, you just go through the levels. And I think it's the first 10 or 12 and you just rack up your 1,000 achievement points. There is really not much to this game. I mean, it's not a bad game. But let's be honest, $5... for, like, you know, getting all the achievements in 5-10 minutes, we all know what we're doing here. Like, let's not beat around the bush.
And let's be honest with what this is. The game Butterfly 1 and 2 is available, also from Grin Robot, and Synchro Hedgehogs 1 and 2 from Grin Robot. They're basically similar. It's you collect the fruit and then you finish the level and you can't jump.
Yep.
And that's it. This is another one of those. I prefer the visual look of Butterfly to Caterpillar.
Yeah, I mean, it did seem brighter.
I like the more cartoony look instead of the supposed realistic look that the bees and shit have in this.
I honestly couldn't tell if they were supposed to be bees or wasps.
I think, I don't know, they're wasps, whatever. But yeah, it's a $5 game. What do you think?
Fuck it, why not?
As expected. Yeah, if you got $5, just drop it on this, get your 1,000 achievement points, and move on with your life. And keep it bananas. Keep it, because chances are the game will be updated in a few months with some more achievements for more levels.
Yep.
Because I know I know Butterfly and Synchro and Smart Moves, they've all been updated to have like 4,000 achievement points now.
Yep.
It's ridiculous. It is crazy. But it works because we buy them. Yay.
True.
Yeah, we do. That is it for this episode. We made it through.
Yeah.
I don't know about that, but okay.
Yeah, it's close enough. Thanks to you two for being here and hanging out.
You're very welcome.
Music this episode, we talked about Persona 5, so I'm going to play the Persona 5 Battle Victory theme because that is my favorite song in the game. I could start it up and just listen to it for like 20 minutes. Just finish a battle and sit there.
I'm sorry.
Does anyone have any final words to end the show?
Not this time.
Jacob, what about you?
I think he might be too high.
Like, I fucking told him that he was going to be on till the end and he could finally have final words and to not be Farfik Nugent again. And now it's final words time. Now it's final words time. And he's like,
he's high. I mean, he can only do so much with a brain that incompetent.
Are the edibles still kicked in for you, Jacob?
Yeah, of course they are, man. But it's just like, I don't know. I didn't really think about what to talk about. I mean, I was surprised.
Do you ever think about anything ever?
Yes.
Why wouldn't Aki stick around? She sticks around all the time.
I don't know. I mean, you implied I would get final words. So
yeah, well, now you have final words.
I feel like I don't.
You're fucking wasting them. You fucking suck.
What?
Jacob, do you have final words to end the show?
Nah, I got nothing.
You motherfucker.